When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Welcome to Jags Drive Time with Ashlyn Sullivan, John Osher, and Brian Sexton. Jags Drive Time starts right now.
You know, I do believe there has to be some kind of healing, with you know, the situation and everything that transpired last year, because it's just, there's a lack of trust that was broken, I think. And for me, it's about gaining the trust back. And they've got to see it through me. They got to see the transparency, the honesty. You know, I've always said that I'm going to be open with them, and I want them to be open with me. And it just comes down to communication, right? And having an open line of communication. And we've been able to have some conversations that way in team settings. And I think the guys have really embraced it and are doing well.
Loved that explanation from head coach Doug Peterson, because it is a real thing. There is healing going on in this building and trust being reestablished as we are getting ready for the start of OTAs next week. Welcome into Jaguars Drive Time. Ashlyn, Brian, and John here with you. And I wanted to start the show with that, guys, because it was kind of the first time that Coach Peterson addressed what happened here last year. Not that he needed to, but it was kind of nice to say, hey, I get this happen, and we're moving on now.
It sends the tempo to his team. It sends the message. And Doug's the guy who's going to say it once and be done with it. Hey, this isn't what last year was. It's going to be what I think it should be. No more worrying about the past. And he probably had to say something.
It seems he's alluded to it before at times, touched on it when asked. The timing of this made sense because it's really the first time that he's been addressing the team and not the draft to the media since the team came back for OTAs. So he's had a chance to talk to players and start getting to know them a little bit. And I think at that point he had something to say about it in terms of what he had seen. As I said on reporters yesterday, I think no matter what the situation had been last year, and I don't know that we'll ever know all the details of it.
We know enough.
But I think no matter what it had been, the reality was you had a coach who was here for 13 games, which is, I think, the third or fourth shortest tenure in NFL history. Whatever had happened, the players need to walk in here looking at Doug Peterson and saying, he's the guy.
Yeah.
He's going to be here
for a
while.
Yeah.
Well, even if they weren't here last year, they need to know it's been shaky here before.
Mm-hmm.
They need to look at him as a beacon in the night, if you will. But I mean, somebody who's going to be here long-term and that you can trust. I doubt that Doug has had to work very hard on that front. I think it's just who he is.
Yeah, agreed.
At some point, you know this, whether you're dieting or exercising or whatever, you got to let go of what was wrong and what you did in the past. And not that Doug has to, but the guys who were here have to just stop thinking about what was and start thinking about what is. And I thought what he really did was draw that line in the sand and say, now we're past it. I don't want to hear about what the past was. All we're doing is looking forward.
Absolutely. Let's get into big things. Big thing one is, what did we see last weekend in rookie minicamp? Well, what we saw was Trayvon Walker absolutely dominating the field, if that is even possible in a rookie minicamp. We knew he was big in person from seeing him in the building, but when you saw him with the jersey and the gloves and hitting pads, you said, whoa, he is really big on a football field, and we weren't the only ones that thought that. Just ask Devin Lloyd.
About what I expected, athletic freak. You know, he's very powerful, and you know, he's somebody who I'm glad I won't play, you know, right left tackle, because that's a bad man. So, you know, it's really fun to be out there with him, and you know, us pushing each other to get better.
Big thing, too, is what did we hear? And truthfully, we didn't hear much. And that was a very nice thing in rookie minicamp. It was very calm. No music blaring. No MC. It was just guys talking to their coaches and working out on a football field, which was a very refreshing thing after what we experienced in last year's rookie minicamp. But one thing we are hearing is how well Trevor Lawrence is adapting to this offense.
100%. You know, he's so engaging right now. The communication is pretty incredible. The things that he sees on the football field, and even from the standpoint of, you know, hey, I like this play. This is what we did last year. I like this play. I like this concept. Is there a way that we can incorporate this in our offense? And so that's the dialogue that's going on right now, and this is the time to really, I think, embrace that and get it into our system now.
And finally, big thing three is what do we think? Well, we think it's pretty obvious why the draft picks are here. They are here for a reason. It was very clear which players were draft picks on the rookie minicamp field and which ones weren't. It was very clear, and you could pick them out on the football field. And Chad Muma, Devin Lloyd, Trayvon Walker were all very clear football players that can start right away, and Chad Muma is ready to get into this defense.
Yeah, initially it was, you know, really kind of a real surprise for me because I saw that they took, you know, Devin Lloyd in the first round. And so, you know, at that time, my mind was thinking, okay, they got their linebacker. I'm not going to be going there. And they're the ones that, you know, ended up giving me the call. And so, you know, I was really thankful to have that. And I wasn't sure how it was all going to work now. But, you know, after going through the meetings and being able to, you know, kind of go through those different positions and, you know, be able to kind of flip between Devin and I, it's good now. It's just still kind of getting that feel for it.
And there you have it. That is big things. We go back up to big thing one because this is the clear, obvious thing of rookie minicamp. Our biggest takeaway was Trayvon Walker and not the potential he has on the field because we didn't see that much. Right. We just saw his size in action.
I'm trying to think of the right way to describe it because I mean, you hear in every draft, you know, the guy's a physical freak, like Devin Lloyd said.
Yep.
And let's be honest. I mean, we're talking about the top 1% of football players in the entire world at this level. They're all physical phenomenons. But the combination that he has, I mean, it's like you went to Churchill Downs a couple years ago, right? Before the horse races started, you watched everybody walking around. They were looking to see if they could identify, you know, a winner based on what they could see. He's the fastest horse on the field, or he was last weekend. I mean, he's the biggest. He stands out in so many ways.
And he does things, again, I don't want to overplay it because it's a rookie minicamp. But the things that he's asked to do during rookie minicamp, he makes them look easy. He looks like a guy that has the potential for us to be talking about this during training camp. Usually during training camp, the rookies fall off. They're not as strong as the guys who are already here. They're playing against grown men. This kid looks like a grown man who will look like a grown man playing against 26-year-olds.
Yeah.
It's just rookie minicamp, but the things he did on the blocking sled, in drills, you can see why they drafted a number one overall. I don't know what it'll translate to on the field, but he's got every chance.
Well, I said this on reporters yesterday. I stood next to, in front of, Aiden Hutchinson in Las Vegas.
He said, get out of my way.
I probably would have said it to him before I would have said it to this guy.
Okay, I got you.
Because the point is that Hutchinson's big, you know, 6'6", 260. But not like this.
No.
And we've been on this field before, all of us. They're all impressive physical specimens. That's why they play in professional football. But I don't know that it had been like, oh, yeah, that's it. I mean, that is the perfect combination of height and length and speed and explosiveness. And as John said four times, you know, it's rookie minicamp. Got it. I mean, but that's what we're looking for in rookie minicamp. We're looking to see what was it that separated this guy from Aiden Hutchinson, from Ike Mukwunu, and from Evan Neal, you know, the other guys who were mentioned as being the top physical targets. Well, if you put them all next to each other, they're all impressive in their own way. And I stood before the other three in Vegas, and then him, it's him.
Yeah.
No questions. If you're wondering, it's him.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's going to mean that he's a, quote, sack guy. But the more you listen to people talk about him, the more you listen to him, the more you see him, you know, I guess the higher confidence there is that he is going to be able to be a productive player doing something in the NFL. And you would be shocked if this kid's not really, really good.
What if he has 8 sacks, right, which would be good for a rookie? I think that would... No, Josh Allen had 10. But what if Josh Allen has 15, right?
I mean, it just takes the pressure off of him.
The impact of what this player can do is more than just what his stats say. And I think that's something that you're going to have to watch. And plus, I think it's pretty clear with his frame and his hands and his, you know, the length of his arms means he can get into guys and then keep them off of him, right, from getting into his body and moving him in the run game. I would expect that he would be a very productive player. I know with the number one overall pick and with the pass rusher in particular, you're looking for sacks. But I think with this player over the first couple of years of his career, you're just going to be able to watch him on the field and go, oh, yeah. Yeah, that is a guy who is worthy.
And from the team's perspective, I get what the outsiders are going to say, my Ozone emailers. What if, I don't know, Brian, he just makes him a whole lot better?
That's my point.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe his presence makes him a whole lot better, and he has 7 sacks, and Aiden Hutchinson has 8, and and the Jaguars are really, really, really good on defense, and he's a big reason why. Oh, he didn't get you sacks!
You're going to get that because it's the nature of the beast.
But I just think, you know, he looks to me like a guy who is going to be able to contribute at a high level for a long time in the NFL. And, you know, if it's true or not, but it sort of looks that way.
Well, and I just want to say this. I shared the story with you of interviewing Devin Lloyd in Las Vegas and how impressive he was. And I said, you know, what is Jacksonville getting? And he said, someone who wants to be good and a good football player and an even better person, right? In the limited touch talk that we've had with these guys, it seems like Trayvon is kind of the same kid. Good kid, good family, a very disciplined, hard worker. If that's the case, if they're both the same case and both really good players, man, what a home run first round this could turn out to be. Time will tell. We've just seen a rookie minicamp, but the signs are encouraging.
Yeah. It's funny, Schlen, after the first draft weekend, there was this, you sort of set your narratives. Well, Devin Lloyd's the real outgoing guy, and Trayvon Walker is going to be very meek in front of the media. Trayvon, I don't think, is going to be as engaging as Devin Lloyd. But in the interviews that I've seen with Trayvon and been around him, he's a very engaging, likable kid. I just don't think he's going to be Mr. Dynamic the way Devin Lloyd is. But I certainly think he's going to be a likable player for the Jaguars, and he's got a chance to be really, really good.
Really good.
Trayvon Walker.
Yes, and I catch myself asking, you know, who cares? Who cares if Trayvon Walker isn't this outgoing? But that's just who we drift to as media members.
Yep.
Devin Lloyd reminds me a lot of Josh Allen, how he walked in this building. Yeah. Very similar. But Trayvon Walker's a good football player. That's all he needs to be.
He
doesn't need a movie star.
We heard before the draft that this was a draft filled with doubles, real solid base hits. This kid has the chance to be a home run. And I have a hard time seeing him not being at least a triple watching him on the field last week. So
totally
I think he's going to be really good and very productive. Does he become that superstar that John's emailers say, John, you were right? Who knows?
Yes. Excited to see him at the least in OTAs and in training camp coming up soon. We have Brandon Scherff, offensive lineman, joining us next on Jaguars Drive Time. Stay with us. We're back, Jaguars Drive Time, brought to you by Jet Home Loans. Excited to have offensive lineman Brandon Scherff join the show now. Brandon, welcome in, and excited to be back on the football field, I can imagine. It's finally for real here in Jacksonville.
Yes, it is. Yep, it's really nice, and the weather's nice here too, so I'm enjoying myself.
Not too hot, though, yet, right?
Not yet. I heard it gets worse.
It's going to be
brutal. It can get warm in Iowa this summer.
Yeah, for about a week.
Short summer up there.
Yeah, amen to that.
So tell us just how it's been going with Coach Peterson and just this offseason program. We, out on the football field, feel it's very relaxed but efficient. Yep. Do you feel the same way?
Yep, you know, just learn a new system with Coach Peterson and then Coach Phil, and then a new offense with Press Taylor. So I think they're just, you know, trying to work us in baby steps here and just stacking one day at a time. And Coach Peterson always talks about the 1%, getting 1% better each and every day, and just coming to work and having fun.
You had different head coaches in your time in Washington, but you were in Washington your whole career. What's it like now, 6-7 years in, to step up and try something new?
Yeah, you know, change. You know, I enjoyed my time in Washington. I had some great coaches, and I'm so thankful for, you know, them. And I wouldn't be where I am without them. So, but change is good, and you know, it's all pretty much the same. Just new terminology, just a new way to do things. So just come in and you know, just grind and have fun.
What were your impressions of Doug Peterson as an opponent for years, and how they lined up? What are your impressions now?
Yeah, he's a great coach. He's, you know, he's one of the best. He's a smart coach. He won a Super Bowl for a reason, you know. So, you know, I'm very fortunate to to be able to play with him, to play for him, and you know, and learn from him too. So I think we got a heck of a team, and we're excited to just keep building one at a time.
We're spending a lot of time talking about, you know, who, what, and where on the offensive line. What's that like for you? First of all, you're stepping into a new group anyway,
right?
And now they're talking about competition at right tackle and who's going to be the left guard, and how do you build the cohesion when you don't know who's going to be where?
I don't think you can worry about that. You know, right now you just got to, you know, we haven't really stepped out on the field yet. You know, you're just doing individual stuff. You are doing a few team things, but it's all about just learning the playbook. And that's, you know, you got to worry about yourself first. You know, make sure you know what to do and how to do it. And like Phil says, he's got three things: know what to do, know how to do it, and be the same guy every day. So coming in work and just show the coaches that you know what to do.
So it sounds like you're not concerned about it. That comes together in August.
It comes together. It slowly comes together. But we also like to get people together during OTAs and build that camaraderie together, you know, outside of practice too. So we just moved into a house. So that's my goal, is to finally get people over there and just enjoy it.
You mentioned Phil. You've worked with him before.
Yep.
What is it about him that you like? Tell people who are watching this sort of what defines him as an offensive line coach to you.
Yeah, you know, he came in when I had Coach Callahan, so he learned under Coach Callahan, and he's really energetic, and he gets along with the guys really well. So he's a lot of fun. You know, he likes to joke around and just make the meeting rooms fun, you know, because some people are better learners than that. He doesn't he's just a fun coach, and we all enjoy him. So
now, as a veteran, would you normally be here for the off-season program? Is this important to you as a player, or is this a first time you want to be here to get to know the new coaching staff? Some veterans see the off-season.
Yeah, for 8 years. This is my 8th year, so I've been here for the OTAs.
Gotcha.
Yep, it's just you know, I like being here because, like I said, you can build camaraderie with the team, and you know, you only have to be in here for 4 hours a day. So whether it's, I like to hunt and fish. You know, you can go fishing after that. You know, we just bought a new house, and so now it's moving into the house and trying to figure out where everything's at in this area.
You got to work out somewhere. May as well be here, right?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. So we were on the field for the first time with this new coaching staff this past weekend, and being next to the offensive line, Coach Rauscher is loud. Is he always that loud?
That's what I said. He's fun, so he likes to be loud, and he is loud.
He was by far the loudest coach on the field, no questions asked.
Yep,
so we can expect
right.
that going forward.
Absolutely. He'll probably get louder.
Fair enough.
Give us your perspective. I mean, we saw the young quarterback. We're excited about him. As an outsider coming in now, what do you think of Trevor Lawrence? You know, what do you see from him in even limited time?
You know, he was picked where he was picked for a reason. He's smart. He's tall. He's quick. He's athletic. He's confident too in the huddle. He's confident. So, you know, as long as we do our job up front for him, you know, the sky's the limit for him. So that's what we're focused on doing.
You said tall. Is that important or just an observation?
I'm just an observation and important too. So yeah.
Speaking of Coach Rauscher, again, he told us at the draft that his main priority in life is to protect Trevor Lawrence. That's his number one job in life.
Yeah, we brought that up in the O-line room too. We're gonna fine him for that too.
Right. Why?
Yeah.
He's just
honest. It's just a joke. Every time somebody gets put on the media, it's always a fine in the offensive line room.
Oh, jeez. So we're never going to see you again, is what
you're
saying.
Probably not.
We'll make this count at the least, gosh.
That's right, yeah. But no, yeah, so as long as we're doing our job up front and keeping Trevor upright, you know, he can do his job and do it to the best of his ability. So we're excited for that.
And how do you like Jacksonville? You mentioned buying the new house.
Yep.
I hear you talking about turkey hunting, so this has to be
We're
a
getting
dream
there.
City.
A lot of guys like to go fishing, so I've never really fished on the coast before. So I'm always, you know, I'm from Iowa, small town. We don't have the beaches like we do out here. So it's a new environment, but like I said, change is good, so we're excited.
You're going to have to get Brooks or some of these guys to hook you up with Brandon Linder, who just retired.
I heard.
Mr. Saltwater.
I heard.
And by the way, I was driving down County Road 210 just yesterday, and there were three turkeys just standing by the side of the road waiting for you.
That's right.
Right there in Ponte Vedra.
No.
Not anymore. He was out there.
No season. Trust me, I've looked.
Yeah.
One of the last ones for you, for the schedule release going back to Washington very early in the season, I can imagine that's exciting.
Yeah, it's
crossing
exciting.
Off the list.
No, absolutely. You know, I like I said, I enjoyed my time back there, and have a lot of good memories back there, and a lot of close friends, so I'm excited to see them all.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining Jaguars Drive Time. We're going to make the most of it. We're never going to see you again.
Sounds good.
You know what the Mushroom Society is?
What?
You know, Ryan.
Yeah.
Sort of offensive lineman. Yeah. They call the offensive line coaches. Love to call themselves an offensive lineman, the Mushroom Society.
You know why?
That's yeah, because they grow in the dark and everyone throws manure on them.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Offensive lineman sounds like a fun place to be.
Well, it's just kind of the way they, that's what they say.
Okay. Yeah. Brandon, thank you for joining us. We'll come back on.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started. You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Jaguars Drive Time. You will not believe what Daily's Place has in store for you this year. Coming up are the likes of the Lumineers tonight and tomorrow, Dave Matthews Band coming up, the Black Crowes, Keith Urban, and much more. For a full list of shows and to get your tickets, visit dailysplace.com. We are back, Jaguars Drive Time, on a Tuesday. Thank you to Brandon Sheriff for joining Jaguars Drive Time. It is time for what's more likely, a couple situations that we have to play out here, getting ready for OTAs next week. And we've talked at great length about Trayvon Walker and Devin Lloyd. So what is more likely, Trayvon Walker and Devin Lloyd starting, or Trayvon, Devin, Luke Fortner, and Chad Mumma starting, Brian?
So, I mean, I think it's a foregone conclusion that you will see Trayvon and Devin on the field. So the real question here is Luke Fortner and Chad Mumma or not? So I went back and looked, and there have been centers who were rookies who started on great teams. Tom Nalen was a third-round pick of the Broncos and was a rookie the year they won their first Super Bowl. And Mike Pouncey started at center for the Steelers and was part of some very successful teams in Pittsburgh. So, I like the look of this guy. I like what I heard on John's podcast. So I think he does start, and I think Mumma plays such a big role, it's like he's starting. I think it's more likely that all four of those guys are playing important roles very early, opening day.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly more likely, just doing the math.
Oh, here we go.
You got two people over on this question, and then two people, the same two people plus two more. So it's more likely that just two start. So more likely that just two, but I completely agree with Brian. I don't know that Chad Mumma will be a 17-game starter on the Jaguars depth chart.
But you won't know it.
But I do think that in 17 games, you'll look out there and watch the Jaguars, and you'll see Chad Mumma running around playing. So he'll be how about this, Ashlyn? How about this blow your mind? I think if you think there are 13 or 14 starters on defense, which is the way the NFL is these days, then I think he will be starting. And I don't know that Luke Fortner starts September, but out of 17 games, I'll bet he starts 12 or 13 of them. I'll bet he's starting, and you know by the end of the season, he's the guy.
Okay. I'm going to go that I think he starts on opening day because he's a smart kid. He's huge, big, broad, looks like a center. And other teams have had success with it, so I don't see why not.
But I think that's going to be a great training camp battle.
The overall point is that by the end of this year, I think John's alluding to this, these are guys that you go, okay, we're set here.
Yeah.
Let's go on.
Check the box.
Well,
top
70 guys, by the end of the year, they should look like that.
You bet.
And you should know they're starting in 2023.
Yes.
Absolutely. All right, what is more likely? Quarterback E.J. Perry or wide receiver Kevin Austin making this team? This is both undrafted free agents that are now on the Jaguars, and both have been very high acquired, and the Jaguars paid a lot of money to get both of these guys here. A lot of teams wanted both these guys. A lot of questions on Kevin Austin out of Notre Dame. He had injuries. He had a suspension. E.J. Perry from Brown University is one of the better quarterbacks that the Jaguars could have picked up. So what's more likely?
Well, both is not an option. Mm-hmm. So I'll go with the quarterback. I'm just guessing, right? young quarterbacks, especially ones that you like, are valuable because they can become draft picks. If you develop them, they're valuable if they have to play, but they're more valuable in the Rob Johnson mold. If you've got a good one, I think the quarterback is a guy who sticks on the roster.
I'll blow your mind again, Ashlyn.
Answer the question.
I think it's more, it's almost a certainty to me that unless E.J. Perry just can't do anything, he's going to be on the roster because you sign a guy, I don't think he will play.
No.
So I think there's a high percentage chance that he's on the roster and doesn't play. In that sense, it's not as much of a certainty that Kevin Austin's on the roster, but there's a much higher percentage chance that he contributes something because I don't think there's any way that Perry, unless something goes dramatically wrong, has a stat next year. Kevin Austin, to me, during rookie camp, looked like a guy who has a chance to get into the rotation, bare minimum a practice squad guy.
Yeah.
So I agree with Brian. When you sign a quarterback like that, you sign him with the idea that you're going to retain him somewhere on your 53 or keep him on the practice squad. So I think he's here. The question becomes Kevin Austin. I think both, but I can't answer both because you have your little or in there. It's not an and question.
That's
and I
correct.
Didn't. I, to be honest with you, I didn't pay any attention to Kevin Austin. So
he looked like a guy who fits in the NFL.
Yeah.
But can you get open? All those things, but you can easily see during rookie camp why they wanted him. And why you think that he has a chance to make the roster.
Yeah, from what we've read, a lot of teams wanted him, and there was just so many questions around him that you have the hesitations, and we probably won't know until training camp what he can bring, but 900 yards his senior season, he only played 17 games of his college career, so when he's on the field, he's impactful, there's just a lot of questions.
And for him and his agent, I mean, this is one of those logical fits. Everybody thought the Jaguars needed a receiver.
Yeah.
They've got five who you think really fit solidly, but there's really not a developmental guy in terms of a young guy right now on this team. So there's a slot for that. And you would think they want Austin to fill that. Now he's got to go fill that.
Absolutely. All right. Our last what's more likely. Who scores more touchdowns this season at running back? Is it James Robinson or new draft pick Snoop Connor? Who scores more touchdowns?
No, and this is interesting because Robinson is a very effective touchdown guy. Both ways, right? As a receiver and a runner. But we don't know what his health is, and the Achilles is a serious injury. We hear he's making progress. Snoop Connor was a goal line back. What, he had 13 touchdowns last year at Ole Miss? He'll be healthy. I won't even try to blow your mind. I'll say Robinson because he'll have the chance to catch and run, receiving and rushing touchdowns. So I'll say Robinson, but Connor will get on the board.
I'm going to blow your mind again, Sean.
Oh, here we go.
I'm never playing this game with you ever again.
I think, well, I'm going to go with Travis Etienne.
No,
but
that's
I'm not going to go with that. So I think Etienne out of the running backs has a chance to be the guy who scores more. But to your question, I agree with Brian. I believe in James Robinson as a worker, as a kid, as somebody who can overcome things. I don't know, frankly, if he'll be the same back at any point in his career as he was before the Achilles. That's always unknown with that injury.
Sure.
If somebody can do it, I believe he can. And I do think he will get back this year and figure out a way to contribute and have more touchdowns than Connor, but not more touchdowns than Travis Etienne.
So the reason, well, first of all, we went with this question because they're both really good around the goal line, and we don't know about Etienne.
That's why I went ahead and answered the question.
Right. No, I know.
Even while I answered the other
question. I know. Right. The one thing I think that Robinson has going for him is he was not an explosive guy before, and he's not going to be explosive after the Achilles injury. So I think he's got a chance to return to form, or at least closer to form, than a lot of other guys who rely on that explosiveness.
Mm-hmm. There's things he did with quickness in the hole, being able to make guys miss.
Vision.
Instinct, that sort of thing, that as a running back, he still needs that Achilles to work well to be good. But I agree with you. I think he will figure out a way to be impactful even while he's coming back from this injury. I think he'll have more touchdowns than Snoop Connor.
But not as many as Travis Etienne. We're done with this segment.
It's your question.
Yes. That was What's More Likely. When we come back on Jaguars Drive Time, some closing thoughts here on the Jaguars Digital Network. The Jaguars are future focused and ready for a new look in 2022. Join us at the bank this season as head coach Doug Peterson and quarterback Trevor Lawrence lead the charge. To lock in your seats, visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 904-633-2000. We are back, Jaguars Drive Time. As of yesterday, some news from Albert Breer that has not been confirmed by the Jaguars, but Ethan Waugh is now the assistant general manager under Trent Baalke, will join the scouting staff here in Jacksonville. This is something we talked about during the pre-draft, and Trent Baalke at the time said, yeah, not right now, but didn't say it wouldn't happen. This is a move we anticipated was going to come, and it looks like it is coming.
Shad particularly had talked about way back the need to add more brain power in football, more level, I guess was phrase used. So Waugh knows Baalke from San Francisco. I worked with him for 10 years, so it's a logical fit.
When they hire him, Trent, I assume, will tell us how they will use him, so I'm just assuming, but assistant GMs are generally on the road a lot.
Yeah.
They're out doing a lot of the scouting and the heavy lifting that would allow the general manager to be here and doing more and different things to support Doug in football. So my guess is he's going to be super scout.
Yes, agreed. And we will await that news from the Jaguars possibly this week. And coming up this week as well, Chad Muma is on the Ozone podcast.
Yes, Chad Muma on the Ozone podcast. And it was interesting. I told him a story of how I went to Wyoming to interview a former Wyoming player. And his eyes sort of glazed over, and I realized I was talking about somebody from the expansion season, and not Chad hadn't been born yet at that point. So,
talk about Ryan Christopherson.
Yeah. So
I hate that Rhino. For you.
I realized I was an old man.
Yeah.
So,
that's
tough.
But listen anyway.
Chad was terrific, and I think fans will enjoy getting to know him a little bit.
Love that. And next Monday we will be on the field for OTA number one, so we'll have some kind of impressions, probably more than rookie minicamp. Going to do a little bit more in this phase two of the offseason, so stay with us for that. And thank you for tuning in to Jaguars Drive Time. We will see you next week. Stay with us on Jaguars.com.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it. Tenor girl goes shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I gotta change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
Get in zone.
What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
Get in zone.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.